He spent all 10 days at the trials at Hayward, and now we hit the dog days for sports fans. Follow his work on the front page of the Register Guard sports section online, registerguard.com, on Twitter. Use the handle at Austin Meek, RG. Austin, how you doing today?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing good. I think I'm decompressing from the Olympic trials. How about you?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm decompressing from reading and watching all the coverage. And I'll tell you, you guys, Ryan and Chris Hansen and Mims and Bob Clark, the photos from Brian and Chris, I know I'm leaving some people out, but from a professional point of view, day after day, you've got to feel awfully proud of the caliber of work you guys did.
Well, thanks. That really means a lot. Not to get too sentimental about it, but it's really cool to work at a paper and in a community where people care about that stuff. You know, there's not very many places where you could put out an 8-page section every day just devoted to track and field, and people would actually read it. You know, that doesn't happen everywhere.
Right.
So the fact that we can do it here, it's pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. But it was pretty rewarding to see the finished product.
Well, I hear from obviously a lot of sports fans, and you guys were getting referenced. Did you see that shot? Did you see that piece? I mean, when you consider the Oregon connection, I'll put it this way: did you know going in? Because I know it's the first time you've ever covered this. As far as the local connection, just the magnitude of what you were going to cover.
I mean, I had a sense that it was going to be a big deal, and I had a sense that there were a lot of Oregon people who were going to be big stories, but I don't know that it's something you can totally prepare for until you're part of it. And that's kind of what I wrote about the last day. It's just the Oregon takeover of track and field. I think the final tally was even higher than what I had in the paper. It was 20, almost 25, I think, Olympians just selected at the trials that had some kind of Oregon tie. 11 of them were current or former Ducks. So this sport really has become very Oregon-centric, and you know, Eugene just continues to entrench itself as the capital of track and field in the United States.
Yeah, I think, what was your phrase after Jenna Prandini said Hayward magic, then you coined the term Oregonization of track and field. So the way that you meant that, it was a really interesting take. What were some of the factors that led you to draw this conclusion?
Well, track has been going this direction really ever since Vin Lanana really got involved, but it just continues to become more apparent that the center of the sport is Oregon. And with the World Championships coming here in 2021, the NCAA meet is going to be here every year, and then potentially the Olympic trials probably coming back in 2020, we're going to see a lot of track around here over the next 5 years. And there's some people in other parts of the country who probably resent that a little bit and wonder why track isn't making more of an effort to share the wealth and to branch out into some areas where it's not as established. I think there's two pretty good arguments there. I think it is a valid point that if track is always catering to the hardcore fans who already enjoy the sport, then it's not reaching out to the fans who maybe don't know much about the sport and need to see it up close. There's also an argument that you got to stick with what works. And Eugene has set such a high bar for what the Olympic trials can be and what the big meets can be that it doesn't make sense to move those events somewhere else that might not do a good job with it. So definitely two sides to that argument. But I think for better or for worse, Oregon really has established itself as the place now for these big track meets.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Vin Lanana is a regular guest on this show, and obviously what he's accomplished here is remarkable. You mentioned the 2021 World Championships, and so I guess the 2020 trials are up for grabs. You mentioned pockets of people who might favor finding another venue, another town. But as far as those who you talk to, maybe even Vin himself and those around track and field, do you get a sense they're like, what, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and we should be right back here in 4 years?
Yeah, I think Vin wants the trials in 2020, and if Vin wants it, he usually gets it. That's been the track record. That's kind of what I was told, is that if Eugene wants it, then it's probably going to be here, and I think Vin does want it. I think Vin sees the 2020 trials as part of a package with the 21 World Championships, or a complement to the 21 World Championships. But look, there are some people who feel like it's time to do something different, and even some people in Eugene. You know, it's not a homogenous viewpoint that, you know, all of these big events are a great thing for Eugene. I know there were some people who were really tired after the trials and are looking at, you know, the potential of doing the trials and then the World Championships in back-to-back years. It's going to be a lot of work, but somehow Vin always seems to pull it together, and I'm assuming that's what's going to happen again.
Yeah, by the way, the numbers, two daily records, an accumulative record, or cumulative record, 176,000. So, all right, we'll put that on the shelf for a couple more years. But after another victory in the 110-meter hurdles at the NCAAs, obviously a lot of eyes on Devin Allen, and we talked about the level of competition was now going to upgrade. Could he pull it off? The impressive nature of his performance, and as you wrote, in what ways will those magical 13 seconds change this young guy's life?
Yeah, man, what more can you say about Devin Allen? I should have known better, I guess. I was putting together the form charts for that event, and I didn't have Devin Allen as a favorite. I didn't even have him making the team. Not because I didn't think he could do it, but he'd never raced against a field like that with those kinds of stakes. And so at some level we didn't know what would happen, but I think, from now on with Devin Allen, you've just got to assume, kind of like he says, anytime he's on the track, he thinks of himself as the favorite, and that's kind of how we should kind of start looking at him now. With that event, there are a handful of guys who are very established, who have won Olympic medals, who've been around a long time. You had Aries Merritt, the world record holder in that race. David Oliver, who is a former Olympic medalist, who had to pull out of the final, but was part of that field initially. So Devin was going up against some really legitimate hurdlers, and won convincingly. I mean, it was a big margin. He pulled away from everybody at the end. So now the question with Devin has to be, can he win an Olympic medal? Can he win a gold medal? I wouldn't have thought that, maybe a couple weeks ago, but after seeing him at the trials, I think it's absolutely a legitimate question.
No, I think the impressive part is what you mentioned. They hit that final hurdle, and you're watching, you're there live, we're watching on video. I'm like, oh my God, he's pulling away. He wins it easy. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Pac-12 football media days later this week, Thursday and Friday, as opposed to the nuts in the SEC, who I think have SEC football month. Is this as much about getting the conference name or brand out there as opposed to, actually providing key football information when you consider practice hasn't started and most coaches probably don't even know their depth chart yet?
Yeah, I saw that they're going to have all the Pac-12 coaches walking the red carpet at the ESPYs, which, I assume Mark Helfrich on the red carpet is not going to be quite as dramatic as Nick Saban coming down the escalator at SEC Media Days, but you're right, it is. It's all about publicity for the conference. It's not about football at all. I mean, at this point in the year, we're 6 weeks away from a football game. There's very little meaningful football to talk about right now. It's all about the fact that this is the dog days of summer. There's not much going on right now. And so to be able to get the Pac-12 name out there in the news cycle for a couple days, have people talking about Pac-12 football, builds a little bit of interest for the conference. I saw that they even are inviting fans this year to go to Pac-12 Media Days. Look, I'm sorry, if you're a fan who enjoys sitting around watching a bunch of reporters ask questions to football players, man, I don't know. You might want to examine your priorities in life. That doesn't sound like much fun to me.
Yeah, I've hung out with a lot of us, and I think the entertainment value would probably be minimal. We got to get a little MLB in. You mentioned the dog days, and it's now. Honestly, for a lot of years, I have not really paid much attention to the Home Run Derby or the All-Star Game, but it just seems like, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton and some of the young players, is this injection of youth or young blood adding maybe a little more appeal to what are, in essence, exhibitions?
Well, Giancarlo Stanton obviously was impressive last night.
Yeah.
To me, the Home Run Derby, unfortunately, every year, it kind of gets hijacked by people complaining about Chris Berman, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you look on Twitter the next day, and there's more people tweeting about Berman than there are tweeting about the guy who actually won the Derby. And I'm kind of the same way. I can handle it for a little bit, but I tolerate Berman in small doses, so I couldn't actually get through the whole thing last night. But apparently Stanton was pretty impressive, that's what I heard.
Yeah, he had almost a 500-footer and 17 of the 18 longest homers. And, yeah, Berman with his back, which he actually robbed from Red Barber from 1947, but that's a story from another day. Final thought, your Royals, 45-43, third in the Central. They got Alex Gordon back. Level of confidence that they have a third postseason run in them as we hit the post All-Star break later this week.
You know, I'm not feeling it this year, and maybe I should have learned my lesson and realized that this team just has some kind of magical quality to it. But I don't see it this year. You know, the difference is 2 years ago they were in a pretty similar position. They were maybe a couple games over 500 at the break. They were not in first place in the division. They were a couple games out in the wild card, and they got really hot in the second half. They ended up winning that wild card game and going all the way to the World Series. This team is different, though. They've just had so many injuries. Lorenzo Cain is hurt.
Yep.
Wade Davis is hurt. Mike Moustakas is out for the season. I mean, they got guys playing now that I haven't heard of, which is really, you know, that's saying something, because I follow the minors pretty close. So I think, you know, this to me looks like a team that's going to scuffle right around 500 the rest of the year. But I don't know. I've been surprised before. They have surprised me in the past.
Yeah, and you never know what the second half holds for the other teams as well. You could catch his work on the front page of the Register Guard sports section, tryregisterguard.com, on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Great job again, by the way, for you and the guys at the Register Guard. The pictures, the coverage was just awesome. Always appreciate your time, Austin. You have a good one.
Okay, thanks. We all appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it. All right, Austin Meek of the Register Guard.